This is Larry Jordan, the host of the Digital Production Buzz. The following interview is an excerpt from a recent program. To hear the entire program, visit digitalproductionbuzz.com. In his current role as the Director of Technology at Keycode Media, Michael Kamas consults in the latest in technology and best practices into digital media and communications. He also has this wonderful love of workflow, codecs, and process. Hello, Michael. Welcome back.
Good evening, Larry. Good to talk to you again.
Michael, we've heard from a lot of different guests tonight. So let me ask you, how would you define workflow?
To me, workflow, the overriding notion is to get from point A to point B without pulling your hair out when it comes to choosing technology for your next project. But the real nuts and bolts of workflow is getting into the different parts that connect production, post-production, and distribution, and the devil's in the details. And so when we talk about workflow, it's not only looking at the big picture, but making sure you have this connective devices that connect these different stages of production and post-production.
I define workflow as a formalized process to complete a task efficiently and successfully. Would you agree or disagree with that?
I'd say you should call Webster's, and I think you should get that in the dictionary.
Michael Cioni describes workflow as the ability to smoothly move from one application to another, from one set of bones to another using the ligaments, the connective tissue, while Greg Dolan felt that workflow was more important as you moved away from production and editorial into distribution. Where does a workflow apply?
I think they're both right, and I think they're both wrong. I think workflow is the complete process. It's from the moment that you have an idea of a film or a project or a commercial or a YouTube video, and where you write that idea down, or what you type that idea in, all the way to the point where you hit upload. Workflow encompasses all of that because every decision that's made, from what's said in a project to what metadata is being put on the VOD platform, that's all connective tissue. That's all connected. So I think the workflow is all of that. So I think both are right.
Well, does this mean that we've got like a third-party tool that we can use that takes us from the very beginning to the very end of a project? Or do we need to develop a bunch of personal systems?
I wish there was. If you've kept up with Netflix, you know that Netflix is working on digital-only tools for their original productions. So they can track everything from the moment of pre-production all the way through distribution. The old way of handling a script, you know, is doing a script markup and using a pen on paper. And some people still do that, but that doesn't translate very well to the digital realm. So following in Netflix's footsteps, or following their paradigm of having everything in a digital format from inception to distribution, make sure that none of that metadata, none of that data, none of the experience of that production is lost, and we can harvest that data through any part in the process.
Yeah. But there's nothing like a piece of paper and a pencil to sketch out an idea or mark a script. And sometimes it seems to me that the digital tools spend more time getting in our way than enabling production. It's more like executives love it because it gives them a chance to look over our shoulder, but it's not particularly efficient for the people creating the product.
That's a very good point. There's obviously the metrics and tracking ROI that the business folks love so much, but there's also a way of monetizing that as well. If we have a version of a script and we have B-roll that we ended up shooting for that or alternate takes, there's a way to then monetize that or use that for marketing purposes later. And there have been plenty of instances in the past where that content would have been lost because it was not recorded, it was not tagged, it was not indexed. And if everything is digital, it all becomes indexed, so we then can use it later for a multitude of other purposes.
All right. Well, what digital tools should we look at? It seems to me that there isn't a single digital tool that does everything.
There isn't. There really isn't. I mean, we have creative tools that have tried to do that. We look at Adobe with, you know, Prelude and Premiere and then Adobe Media Encoder, but that doesn't handle a lot of the basic production stuff or the more advanced distribution. What I tend to look at, and maybe this is just my engineering mind, is using engineering tools to actually plan everything out. And that includes stuff like Visio from Microsoft, that includes OmniGraffle for Mac. And it basically involves plotting, this is what happens at one stage of production, here is how it gets to stage two of production, and here are the formats it's in, and this is how it gets to stage three of production. And you actively plan out and write out at each node. Anyone that's done compositing and knows about node-based compositing, you plan things out in that way. And I think what happens quite a bit is a lot of younger filmmakers tend to run and gun. They want to shoot and just start working with footage. And I think there has to be a little bit of a pause button there to say, do I want to pay now or pay later? Do I want to suffer the stress at the beginning or the end? And if you suffer at the end, it's always when your back is up against the wall. I'm a big fan of testing prior to beginning your entire production. That includes shooting test footage, trying to log it, trying to edit it. Can you grade on it with your machine? Can you get that export from editorial to your finishing system and do your grade? Can you then export? Shoot 5 minutes. Test it. I think too many folks, all they want to do is shoot and then deal with the consequences later. And I think that bites a lot of people in the pay now or pay later paradigm.
It sounds to me that what you're saying is that each of us needs to develop our own workflow for our own project to meet our own specific needs. Is that a safe statement?
Mostly.
Let's say that it's mostly true. If we develop our workflow internally, how do we guard against the problem of not knowing what we don't know?
That's great. One of the things I talk to people quite a bit about is you don't know what you don't know. And that's why there is a multitude of free resources out there that other people have already asked the exact same question you have. The problem we have in our industry is that our standards are not standards. Every week there's another codec. Every month there's a new revision to the software. There's another revision to the OS. There's a faster machine. And because of that, there's never a workflow that is completely stable for eternity. So when there is a workflow question, there are Facebook groups, there's websites like Creative Cow, especially for legacy workflows. Twitter, you can ask questions, you can reach out to people like me, or what most people don't do is reach out to the manufacturer directly. Even if they roadblock you and they don't return your call, keep hounding them. With all these changes, there are people out there who know what these changes mean for your workflow. So it begs testing and actually reaching out to people who have done this before.
Michael, I think you're exactly right in that we need to take existing tools and customize them for our own project. But where do you find workflows breaking down?
Traditionally, I find when it comes to more compressed media, and I know I sound like I'm trying to push, buy more storage, but it seems the more compressed footage we shoot, that is the tighter the codecs, the smaller the cameras, the more consumer or prosumer we get, the more problems we get because each of those cameras tend to cheat. And when I mean cheat, I mean they skimp on color space, they skimp on metadata, they deal with spanning in a haphazard way. And that causes problems in not only an editorial, but if you start to finish on a different system. It also hurts you with the other issue that most people run into with workflows is trying to use cutting edge technology and codecs on older machines or older software. And these machines just don't have the ability to deal with these new formats and whatnot. And so I find most workflow problems aren't as much workflow problems as they are a mismatch between what you acquire and how you can actively use it without pulling your hair out.
So it seems to me, if I could summarize what you're saying, the two most important things in developing a workflow is to think about it up front and then test it to be sure it works.
Yes. The only thing I would augment with that is what we talked about a little bit earlier, which is you don't know what you don't know. So get the people who are going to be working with you in production involved at the beginning. Don't wait until you've got a boatload of footage. Find an editor first, find a finisher or colorist first, and make sure they all talk so you can plan out the workflow and test it before you start.
And Michael, for people that want more information or to have questions for you, where can they find you on the web?
Two places, michaelcomas.com and 5thingsseries.com.
That website is all one word, M-I-C-H-A-E-L, Comas, michaelcomas.com. And the other is 5thingsseries.com. Michael Comas is the Director of Technology at Keycode Media. And Michael, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Larry. Always a pleasure.